This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Hey, all you lucky ones. As JC would say, it's another evening of entertainment and information.
Edutainment.
That's right.
Oh, God knows we went through that one.
And we have the usual suspects. Lee here, of course, announcing tonight. We got Paul with us.
How you doing?
Sean is here.
Hi, everybody.
And we got Mark behind the studio and behind the microphone tonight.
Hello.
And Mark, you need to talk a little more. You're really quiet the last show.
Mark's going to contribute tonight as well.
Come on. Be more than an engineer.
What do you say? Step up
to the plate.
I'm shy.
Step up to the plate.
He's shy.
Okay, so tonight we should talk about drama.
Well, we got an email.
And we can start with reading a dramatic email.
We got an email from a guy named Johnny B, who I think has emailed with us before, or maybe posted on the website, businesssuccesstips.org. And he has he needs some help. So here's Johnny's email. You guys are the experts. I love your podcast. I've gotten myself into a bad position. I'm attending full-time school at North Metro Tech, graduating with an AAS, then pursuing BA, then going for master's. I'm totally broke due to poor job choice and inability to take a job that pays less than $10 an hour. I'm not getting any callbacks for interviews. I'm an extremely hard worker with a track record that provides success. I make excellent grades in school. I'm part of PBL and Rotor Track. I don't know what that is. I am the teacher's pet, so to speak. I just need some advice on getting my feet back on the ground and running. I have 30 miles of... This is where it gets bad.
I
have 30 miles worth of gas left in my truck and $8 to my name.
Oh, poor baby.
And, Paul, a little empathy,
be
please.
Be nice. And the fridge is looking a little empty, and I live on my own. My father travels, so he stays here occasionally. I felt like I was listening to a country music radio station at this point.
My dog was there, my girlfriend left me.
But this is a real person, so we want to help Johnny.
We want to help Johnny. Now, Paul, I have to say something, though, first of all. Paul, you're a little hard here. Have you been in a situation where you have had an empty refrigerator and no gas in the car and all that stuff? You never have, right?
Absolutely.
I know why.
No, I have.
I have, too.
I have.
Well, I have, too. I didn't know you ever had.
Yeah, and probably the worst situation to me was when I owed the IRS $400,000 in back payroll taxes, and they were threatening to put me in jail.
That's kind of serious.
You know, so I've been there, done that.
I want to just finish the email. One more line, then we go back. I'm not looking for a handout of any kind. I just need a solid plan to get back on track. You guys are the experts. I need some help. So... The first thing that we thought about was, I mean, obviously this is a real person with real needs.
We all care about this guy, but I wasn't put in jail. I just would have gone bankrupt, which wasn't fun. So, in fact, I did go bankrupt once. It wasn't all that bad.
So let's separate the emotion from in this and the perception from the reality.
Okay.
And I think
here's the question: can you have positive emotion in drama, or does it take negative emotion to have drama? Because what is, let's define drama. Is drama the ups and downs?
Drama is the way that you interpret a situation or that you add to it, right? So there's the event, and we talked about this earlier. There's the event, I just got shot in the arm, I just lost my job, and then there's the reaction. And that's the part you choose. And that's what everybody says. No, it's automatic. Oh, it's not automatic.
It's
what you choose to put into it.
If you read Covey, there's the difference. There's an event in the universe, a circumstance, like gun to the head or whatever it is. And then there's that moment of choice, and then there's how you feel, which is a decision. You know, being a victim or suffering or is all a choice. And any spiritual teaching will say if you pull off detachment, you're very powerful. To the extent you're attached, you'll give your power away.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, spirituals in 1A. So, you know, the first thing I'd say is, seems like a nice guy. I'm glad he wrote us. Seems sincere. And he is a bit, I mean, the whole bit about, you know, $5 to my name. Go get a job. I mean, so.
Well, let me just say a couple things. I mean, the reality is that sometimes what we have to do is separate the drama or the emotion away from what we have to do when we make a decision. I don't believe we make good decisions out of drama. I don't believe we make good decisions out of fear. And what I believe is that somehow we have to be able to set that aside for a minute, look at the challenge in front of us, and make some logical decisions.
I agree 100%.
I think some people are addicted to drama. You know,
absolutely.
They like the.
I think they use it as an excuse to not be able to get their shit together.
America's addicted to drama because look at advertising in the tabloids.
Well, it's they sell based on it.
What is it? Justin Timberlake had a great day. Nothing, but he's having an affair with a 60-year-old woman in a convalescent hospital. Then it's big news, right?
Paris Hilton is what back in jail for the umpteenth time.
And right. So we thrive on drama. It gives us
juice. That's why people look at the accident when they drive by in their car on the freeway.
They can't help themselves. It's juice. So it's identifying your addiction to drama, like any other addiction, and saying, well, gosh, and then forgiving yourself, going, gosh, I'm really addicted to drama. That's not really serving me.
Well, the definition of addiction in my way of thinking is something you do to avoid emotional pain. Because you all have a certain amount of emotional pain. If you, whether it's sex or money or whatever, you get into that because there's some emotional pain that you really don't want to feel and experience. So you like look at somebody else's pain.
Drama provides you with pain. So it's sort of vicarious pain.
It's not really feeling your feelings.
Drama's overreacting, right?
No, it's not.
I always want to clarify something because I think it's all drama, but we're talking about this person's drama in his own life, and you're talking about, which is equally valid, other people's drama and hiding from your own drama,
right.
Or your own, sorry, reality with other people's drama. So those are two different issues.
If this would have presented in a non-dramatic way, the same thing would be, I haven't been able to find a job that pays enough, got any advice, here's my skill set. Mm-hmm. And you'd say, well, you could become a consultant, we've talked about how to do that. Just find somebody you know more than they do and charge them money, whatever reasonable. If you have to take a job at Burger King for $10 an hour, that's what you take to get by.
Yeah, well, and exactly. I mean, the first thing that my thought was for Johnny B was, I don't want to say just get a job, but
go to Burger King. They're always hiring.
Do what's necessary.
Do what's necessary.
You never know who you're going to meet.
And detach yourself from the emotion of judgment and saying, gosh, I'm a person who works at Burger King only for this week, only for this month.
Remember, it's an attitude of gratitude and positive expectation. Mm-hmm. This is not doing that. He's not grateful because he doesn't have terminal cancer. He's going, oh my God, I don't have $10 in my checking account. I had a client, very interesting, called me up on the phone. And the first thing he said was, well, there's an interesting week last week. I lost 80% of my revenue because my two biggest clients quit. And I'm upset about that. And I went, okay, let's deal with it.
It was more than upset. He just basically practically said his life was over, right?
Well, he was not. And I said, okay, let's deal with this. First place, I said, how much money do you have to last? And we started just dealing with, it's sort of like in triage. When somebody comes in, they're bleeding. You know, some are going to die and some aren't. You got to make a decision. Who's going to die? Who's not going to die? And then you do the best with the people that are. And it doesn't have to be dramatic. It's just surgery. And the fact is some people are going to die. And you just keep moving through it.
I don't know. That's pretty dramatic.
think anything is unless you decide it is. I mean, think I agree that some things are more likely to be perceived as dramatic. But, I mean, this is what I tie a lot of things to martial arts because I learned a lot of lessons up in that studio where we go through a lot of pain. But we detach ourselves from the pain. And that's part of what standing in horse dance is about. Is, gosh, this really hurts. My legs are shaking. Oh, my God, I feel like I'm dying. Fight or flight mode kicks in.
Right.
And you learn over time, over years, to not care. And so... not care in a bad way, but just detach yourself. That is something that you carry through if you're thinking, you carry it through to everywhere. It's not just in that moment.
Now, my understanding, for example, with hospice is people go to hospice to die, right? That's what hospice does. Now, the question, are you going to die in a respectful, I'm out of here, whatever my spiritual belief is going to happen, I'm not going to avoid dying, I'm going to do the best job I can of dying I can do, or is it, oh my God, it's a huge drama, I'm dying. You're going to die either way. So to me, hospice is a way of pulling the negative drama out of dying and dying in a respectful way.
Yeah.
And that's about, to me, as dramatic as you get. You're going to die.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to, later or now, I'll relate my story to that.
Relate your story, Lee.
I mean, bottom line for me is a few years ago, I had congestive heart failure. I caught a virus in my heart. My heart started to enlarge, and it got to the point where I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. Went to the doctor. He looked at me and said, you're going to need a heart transplant. And I said, oh my God, I could die. And it was very dramatic. But at the same time, and over time, I didn't catch this immediately, I decided to leverage that as an opportunity and to say, great, I'm not going to live forever. What am I going to do differently now in my life? How am I going to change my lifestyle? What am I going to do that I haven't done before?
Right.
Leverage it. I bought an RV. I take off on trips all the time, or at least I was.
Now, see, it's getting further away.
It's getting further away from that.
You're getting healthier.
Do I have to have more drama to get back, though, to taking those trips again? Lord knows.
Now, the question is, if someone says you're in a large heart, you're going to die, that can either be dramatic or not. I'm defining drama as negative emotion.
I understand.
And you can say, okay, I get that I have potential of dying. And what am I going to do to make the most of what I got, you know, an hour left or a day left or 15 years left?
Right.
And
right.
I firmly believe that whether you've got cancer or you lose your job or like John, who you've got financial problems, being negative never helps.
Never helps.
Right. And you have X amount of energy to spend, and you can choose it to spend it positively or negatively. Right. Which do you prefer?
Exactly.
Because you'll get results both ways.
Right.
And you can't then look back and say, you know, and this rolls into the whole victim complex thing, is externalizing and saying, well, I am being victimized. At some point, you have to accept responsibility for everything in your life.
Right.
And that's when everything changes.
And a person
changes.
I know very well, I mean, it was this point, just came to me and he said, well, my girlfriend's got cancer and she's with her ex-boyfriend. How do I feel about that? And his answer was, why am I creating that in my life? That's pretty heavy duty. Which to me is a very responsible kind of...
A very enlightened
reaction to that.
Yeah. You've been very rare.
And what can I do to deal with that and move forward?
Yeah.
Well, as opposed to going, oh my God, that's pretty not... That's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly because that certainly, you know, grounds for drama.
Yeah. Right. No, grounds for most people to just start pointing the fingers and why me and how can this happen to me and all that and saying, well, gee, what am I doing to create this in my life? I had a conversation just this morning with one of my students who said he has tried to go for he wants to be a police officer more than anything. He's tired. He's burned out as a contractor. And so he's failed twice. He's gotten just to the last stage and lost it. And it's really devastated him. It's been hard for him to come back from it. And so he's like, you know, and he goes, I'm wrestling with this. I'm watching somebody in sort of mid-enlightenment where he's like, you know, part of me is like, I know I need to stay positive and look to the other things. Part of me is thinking back to this guy, Joe Lucci, because you probably know who Joe Lucci is. He's like, he's the one who pushed me originally to go back out on my, or go out on my own in business. And he's like, part of me, there's this voice in me that says, you know, I'm mad at him. But he's like, I realize that's ridiculous. But he's recognizing the victim voice inside
him. Well,
like
the voice in your head that just said, what voice, right? Right?
Yeah.
That's the one we got to watch for because it's always talking.
Yep.
And it's never you.
See, and I think that voice is human nature, and I think we need to fight it all the time.
Well, and the voice is you are the person listening to the voice. You're not the voice, which is a huge difference.
Right.
Because the person listening to the voice.
Wait, enlighten me a little more here. I'm not sure I got that one.
When you hear a voice in your head that says, that was really stupid, or whatever it says,
right?
You are not the voice. You're the person listening to the voice. Because a voice means nothing without a listener.
Now, let me add, I know where you're confused. You're like, this is duality and singularity and all that.
You're the speaker and the listener at the same time.
Here's what it is. Is what I believe. This is my own personal belief based on my own research and experience.
Deep? It's okay.
is that we internalize the externalized voices that are told to us by our father and our mother and our teachers and all these really powerful voices when we're very young and we're a sponge and we're emotionally vulnerable. And what we end up doing is it doesn't just exist without. We take those and then we internalize them and carry them around with us and sort of self-flagellate, you know, with the whip, right? And so that voice, which you're talking about now, the one we're listening to, it's not like, whoa, I'm Sybil all of a sudden. It's about your internalization of externalized forces
even if it's a voice that said that was really stupid or that was really smart or this voice where said, you know, why did I create that in my own reality? This is sort of a spiritual point of view. But I think you're not the voice, you're the listener. Because without listening, a voice means nothing. Because if there's nobody listening, what's the voice mean, right?
So you're just sort of circumventing the whole where's the voice coming from thing, which is fine because I don't know.
Well, it sort of doesn't matter. But if you get you're the listener and you're not the voice, the listener for all the spiritual teachings of Ira is not vulnerable. It's, you know, it's forever. It's your soul. It's compassion. And it's never in trouble.
I think the important thing is to stop the dialogue. You know, because if you stop and listen, everybody's talking to themselves all the time. We learn it as a child. We learn to tell ourselves the story of the world, and that gets confirmed. And we all do it. I mean, you think you're just thinking. You're telling yourself a story all the time about everything. You're interpreting, and you're sub-vocalizing it, and you're putting it in your head. And so if you can just stop the voices, it's really interesting to try it. It's hard to do.
Well,
it's
actually, it's really hard. Right? But there's another side to that. In fact, there's a book. It's What You Say. What is it called? What You Say to Yourself? Or how to control what you say to yourself. And if you can learn to train yourself to say always positive things to yourself instead of negative things to yourself, you can change your way of thinking and change your habits as a result.
It sort of gets back into, you know, Metaphysics 1A and sort of the Course in Miracles, and they talk about everything you see around you is nothing but your history. Because, like, this is a microphone. Where do I get the word microphone?
Here we go.
You know, I had to learn it somewhere, right? So if we get that everything we're experiencing, the only reason this is a microphone is somewhere, you know, I have the microphone thing. And my example, maybe a long time I talked about the cup. You know, if you have a cup in the middle of the room, how many cups are there? In my case, I believe there's five. There's the cup that's in the room, whatever that is, reality. And there, you know, if Mark's father beat him with a cup, your father gave you warm chocolate with a cup.
My cup was always full.
Your cup is always full. You know, my cup, whatever, you know, my mother tried to poison me with it. We're not going to see the same cup.
Well, you guys had some rough childhoods.
You know, we're not going to see the same cup. And the insanity is that there is a cup. Because the cup in your head and the cup in my head is entirely different. I look at it with fear. You look at it with love. And then we're going to argue about this, well, there's only one cup in the room. And that's what happens just about everything in reality, whether it's wars or everything else, or business especially.
Two people hearing two different conversations.
Right. I mean, so what happens is, you know, is John a good employee? Like, there's some absolute truth about that. And some guys say, well, John works really hard. Well, John lies. Well, John, you know. And then we have this whole debate.
Okay. This is all about perception, but how does this help old Johnny here?
How do we help Johnny?
So what happens? So Johnny B has to perceive things differently.
The minute he says something like, I only have $5 to my name, that's being a victim. And that's a negative thing. He can say, wow, I got $5 to my name. Let's move up from there. It's a perception.
So you're interpreting, you're perceiving how he wrote this email.
Right.
He might be excited that he's got $5.
To I'm judging. I'm absolutely going to judgment. That it sounds to me from my, you know, my
reality. Well, that's the problem with email, right?
Yeah. That the man's, and you know, we know about there, emails.
There's no happy, what do you call them, smiley face
smiley
after
faces.
That?
Well, you know, him writing this email was a great vote for really getting help. I mean, asking for help is the first thing.
So that's the first
very
step,
important,
yeah.
is to
so
ask for help.
My advice and a plan to answer this email is, one is get a job, whatever it takes to raise money.
Yep.
Be an attitude of gratitude. Be happy that you're healthy and that you've got
first
the
of all be happy that you're healthy that's
and you've
the
got
greatest
the ability to create money in your life. Ask for help, develop a plan, you know, go to your friends and say, look, you make money, how do I make money? And I'm gonna, you know, segue right here to our victim engineer, no offense Mark, who's so Mark, what's your problem? We covered, you know, losing your house and other in a few podcasts ago, but let's sort of update the audience here.
Yeah, the problem is the housing market here is just totally flat or negative, and we're stuck in a property that we're having a tough time paying for because work's been a little bit kind of spotty. Mm-hmm. Trying to build a business, but it's, you know, taken more than a year to get enough clientele to, you know, float. So
I'm going to be so you're
he's
being
be jerk.
Jerk.
Okay, consultant.
So, okay, so you're being a victim. The housing market, like, you yeah. know, the housing market's the housing market. Some people think it's great, some people think it's shitty, but it's the market. It's and so the housing market isn't your problem.
No.
It's just
income
that you can't afford
problem.
Your house rent. That's your problem. Right. It's not the housing market.
Yeah.
So and the fact is that you haven't made enough business in a year is your problem. It's not, there's lots of business out there to do. So the number one says, okay, obviously I've not been able to create money. What can I do? Now, I think, for example, you know how to do FileMaker, right?
Right.
And Lee has more FileMaker business knows what to do with. So what you need to do is, you know, after this podcast, you say, Lee, you know, whatever I can take, give me a project, pay me what you think it's worth, and I'll get started on it and then start that career. I believe you could be doing easy 20, 25 hours a week. It's $60 an hour, which would at least make the house payment, right?
Certainly.
And, you know, make you a living. And that's here. You could do this within a week. You could be making a living. Now, it's interesting. We talked about this months ago, and you have done nothing.
I've been doing a lot. I just didn't do that.
And what happens is when we look at, you know, lots of times you've been working on your idea, which is great, mm-hmm. your website thing. But lots of times it's important to do just what works.
Yeah.
The immediate, okay, how do I make money now? And it's sort of like,
you're not signing on to a permanent contract.
No,
you're just saying I'm doing what it needs to get through. And that's the Johnny B thing too.
Yeah,
it's doing what you need
to get through.
I know for Mark though, that his favorite thing is not FileMaker. Just happens to not be FileMaker. Right?
Beggars
right?
can't be choosers
too,
is the expression
so
that comes along.
Now that's a problem though. Beggars can't be choosers. Why can't you pick exactly what you want to do and make money at it?
Because
What's wrong with that idea?
Look at your life, and if you can't get you what you want, that's what you believe. Back to the light bulb, the belief system, all that kind of stuff. So obviously Mark's belief system isn't what it takes right now to make a living doing his passion. He can tell because he's not. That's how you tell. If you look at your life and it isn't happening, duh, that's my belief system. It's
okay,
not working.
I think it comes down to accepting responsibilities for the choices you made. You've made a choice to be in a house, mm-hmm. and you can't afford that house based on your current things you're doing.
Right.
You have other, unlike some people, you have other financial opportunities available to you in your face. I respect if you choose not to make those choices and take those up, because I respect everybody's choice to, I'm not saying you have to do that and this Johnny B has to go work at McDonald's or whatever, but what I would expect is that that you would then take responsibility for the choice that you made, that you have to then sell that house and downscale your life. Sure. Because you want to stay happy, for example, I'm making this up, in a doing different work that feeds right. you. And but yep. that's a set of choices.
And if as long you as lose taking, money on your house, oh, well, it was, if you have to go back. I mean, I went bankrupt once because of the choices I made. It was yeah. my choice. I went bankrupt. Oh, well, moving on.
Yeah.
It was now. I remember sitting in front of the bankruptcy court. And I never lost my Mercedes, never lost a house. And the judge goes, do you really need $600 a month cell phone bill? And I go, yeah. He goes, okay, fine. And that was a long time ago.
Or in Mark's case, do you really need a $600 iPhone?
Right.
Which he bought in the same time he's having a financial crisis. I respect that, though, because I've done that in my lowest moments. I've gone out and made a purchase that made me feel good or that I used or I was enthusiastic about because it was a bright light in my life. And then it
retail
helped drag
therapy,
me out.
It works.
It's retail therapy, dude. I'm telling you, it does work, which is
women are special in this country. That's
but,
right.
I mean, they count on that. But apparently, iPods are a recession-proof industry, which is very good for Apple.
And I'm using the hell out of it. I mean, I'm using
yeah, I know
it.
You, okay, are.
That,
you don't have to justify it. Okay, toy. We're all in the toy industry.
I've got a client right now that hadn't paid her taxes, her
oh, yeah, that.
Employee taxes, you know, like, which is the government considers Ooh. Stealing. Hadn't paid employee taxes in 4 months, and they had just bought a, you know, like a $300,000 boat.
Ooh.
And I'm going, come
they're
on,
gonna,
woman.
They're
going
to be toast.
You know? And so, I mean, I went to that business, there was no, and I go, let's make a reasonable, God knows I love to spend money, you know, and, but you got to make a reasonable, and then accept, if she wants to buy the boat for $300,000.
Accept the fact that the government's going to shut her down.
Accept the fact that
government
shuts you down and move on.
That's
and,
it.
And that's okay. It's sort of like, if you're a surgeon and you kill people, that's fine because you're a surgeon and it happens.
Right.
You know?
The only problem comes into play when you start pointing at everybody else and saying, why is my life this way? Whether it's God or your friends
you
or your boss.
Victim. Cannot be a victim.
Just understand that you're making all these choices. The entire fabric of your life is a series of choices that you've made.
And so,
and
know,
some that you didn't.
Right.
That you're not sure why they happened. Right. And, but that's just the way
and,
it is.
And, and Mark, to get there's this sort of general milieu of victim around your circumstance. And the first way to change that is say, I'm not a victim. I'm a healthy guy. I'm a real bright engineer. I'm going to do some, you know, Feynman pro engineering, blah, blah. And just, you just start because some people have this spiral, you know, like he's spiraling down until they either die, which is the bottom, you die, or, you know, they turn it around and decide to make it happen. And it's a decision. It's all a decision.
And you, I go both ways. I mean,
right.
That didn't sound good.
Well, plus, that's right. We talked about you bidding over so earlier. Okay.
No, I mean, right. You know, when someone asks me, they say, oh, well, how's it going? And I'm like instantly kind of go into that, like, oh, well, it's kind of shitty.
You go into the victim thing.
I mean, I'm driven now. In fact, we just, you know, a couple days ago decided, okay, we're going to have to downsize. And then we looked at the numbers again and decided, you know, screw that. This is worth fighting for. And so now I'm on this, you know, major positive tip.
Well, the first thing is
you
got to get
for it.
What's the worst thing that can happen? The absolute worst thing that can happen.
Is that we default and, you know, maybe go BK and downsize.
Okay,
and,
I've been bankrupt. You know, it doesn't hurt. It's okay.
It's
I mean,
a little harder now under Bush. But
it's still, you know, we don't have debtor's prison,
yeah,
fortunately.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you accept the worst case scenario and are okay with it, then you move up from there. But until you can detach from that, as long as you're attached to the outcome, like, God damn it, I'm not going to go bankrupt no matter what, or whatever, it sucks the energy and you keep losing.
Yeah,
you know, you just give your power away to the circumstances. So you got to accept the worst, detach and go, okay, worst case is I die. One of those powerful guys I go with a client was a contractor. And he happened to, he was in Vietnam. And he spent, you know, several days lying under the dead bodies of his best friends. That's about as bad as I figure it could get.
Yeah.
So what happened is in business, it was just money. And he was fearless. If it wasn't life and death, he goes, I lose $1 million. Oh, well. And he was great at it because he went into business and he made really good decisions because they were all he was not attached to it. It wasn't about ego. The decisions he screwed up on, which I helped him get overcome a couple of them, was he went, God damn it, that guy's suing me. And, you know, I'm not going to pay him $10,000 because he's wrong. It ends up costing you $100,000 to be right. That's just stupid. So, you know, the detachment part is the number one. If you can be detached, and that's true in the martial arts, that's how the power comes from. And then you act out of, I guess, what do you call it? Knowingness or control. And you aren't...
Logic.
And you aren't run by fear.
Yeah. So, and, you know, the other thing is, I have to say this, and this goes out to Johnny B, too, and it goes out to you, and it refrains on something that's happened in my life, is that when you hit the wall or you get to rock bottom or whatever metaphor you want to use, and you come back from that, you come back so strong that nothing can ever hit you again. And I think this must have happened for you, I'm guessing, when you were told that news. You must be looking at life in a whole different way. And there's something about you that's different.
I had a doctor, a cardiologist, look at me, and he was crying when he told me that I had to have a heart transplant and I might not make it.
And you know, and
it was incredible.
But you brought back from that a new perspective of life. What a gift. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say, is like, instead of looking at these things as these horrible things that you're being punished with and you're a bad person or life hates you or whatever it is these are gifts, you know, so long as we come back from them and we conquer and rise above them. And you know, there was a time when I ate mayonnaise sandwiches on a curb in Cape Cod with no money in my pocket. There was a time when my wife left me. There was a time, you know, when my wife and I were near divorce, and we worked it out, and we're so powerful now that like we're not afraid of that anymore. Right. All these things are gifts, it's just rising above them. That's what makes us great.
And as a quick aside, those gifts are gifts that you can then give to your children as well.
Or you can give your listeners.
Or your listeners. Because you've experienced it, you can help other people with those experiences. Right. So when you have those bad experiences, leverage it, take advantage of it, help others with
those
experiences.
And they're not bad, they're just an experience. Yes. The bad part is what you add to it.
It's what you interpret, how you interpret it.
You know, I think JC's favorite saint, I forget the name of the saint, but he was, you know, put in a box, lived in his own fecal material, you know, blah, 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 for years and years. He was blissfully happy all the time because he had this connection to God. And you could, and no matter what he did, he was happy. And I think if you can, I think personally, that's the secret to me. If you can connect to whatever higher power is in your own life, and Lee, you're probably exception to that. And you have that.
You mean I'm not well connected?
And you have that solid belief, then nothing can shake that. And when you look at the people who've really done well, they have this firm grounding in whatever spiritual belief they believe in, and they go, oh, if I die, I die. And they just, they're a rock.
Yeah. And I think it's the ability to control your thoughts and your feelings, and controlling your, you know, all of this ties into being able to control the way you think about things.
Now, see, I disagree totally with control. I mean, JC has recently, well, he talked about last show, you know, sort of give it up for God. And in his life, he just lets, in his own words, lets God live through him. So he in his
brain,
he's
given misinterpreting what I'm saying. I'm talking about not letting your emotions run the show.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. That's control. I mean control in that way. Is that if you just let your emotions run amok, I'm a victim, blah, 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 you're running just one willy-nilly, and you're not stopping the world, stopping the dialogue, taking control. That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
But also, though, I think it's important to have the emotions.
Not saying be emotionless.
Yes,
I'm saying
that's real important to have those emotions.
Who's walking? Is the dog walking you, or are you walking the dog? That's what I'm saying.
Well, but in the emotions, the same thing is, you know, the spiritual teachings I've studied have talked about sort of high compassion and difference. So you're experiencing it, but you're not. It's like a movie. You know, you can have a great time at a movie,
but that would be too detached.
No, but it isn't. I mean, the guru, you can still have all the emotions, all the love, feel all the things, but not realize that's not you. It's your emotions, and you are not your emotions.
Yeah. So have the emotions, just don't base decisions on them.
Right, and you're not your emotions. So that's when you go to a movie, and we have a great time, but that's not me.
You're experiencing your humanness.
Right.
It's wonderful
to be
human.
I'm the observer of emotions, and I'm going through all this stuff, but it's not me. Yeah. I'm the person watching the show.
Yeah.
And most of the gurus say if you can get there, you know, no matter what happens in life, you're sort of blissed out all the time. The gurus I've, you know, studied under and known, they're happy all the time. And
that's a whole other podcast, because you can't be totally happy all the time.
And I disagree.
I think some people are.
You know,
the next podcast, we're going to talk about eternal bliss.
You're flatlining your life if you're
happy. That's not flatlining, that's bliss. You don't have to have
people
down
in asylums that are happy all the time.
We'll talk about it next show.
Okay.
I'll bring the bong.
Good night, everybody.
I'll bring the bong. That's great.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BSTpodcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
Hey, this is Sean Daly, host of Green Talk Radio. Green Talk helps you navigate the maze of green and eco products on the market today and make smarter lifestyle choices at home and at work through informative and entertaining interviews with industry authors and experts, as well as executives from innovative companies around the world. Find Green Talk Radio on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. Green Talk Radio, environmental stewardship through smart consumption.